All right, welcome everybody to Overdunk episode 6. I am Zoinks with you, Night Mikes, and on today's episode, I have the incredible pleasure of being joined by these fantastic folks over at Sucker Bunch. Welcome, Sucker Bunch, to the podcast.
Woo!
Yeah, there we go. I love how hype this team is. Team manager and everything. Okay, awesome. So for people who don't know you, I'd like to just get a quick introduction of all the players on your team. Just introduction to each guest. We could just sort of round table this. I'm just going to ask you the basic getting to know you questions. Who you are, what people might know you from, and then what role you play on the team. Sloth, you're in my first in the circle of table, so why don't you kick us off?
So I'm Sloth Goss. I play the defender role, originally Elder Goss, which is where the Goss comes from. I teach high school, and I don't know if anybody would know me from anywhere else other than Sucker Bunch, but I'm glad Sucker Bunch is where they know me from.
Oh, okay. That's better than knowing you from high school, I guess.
Yeah.
All right.
That's wholesome.
That's so true. Arg, why don't you follow up?
Sure. My name is Arg. I play attacker for Sucker Bunch. I am a graduate student over here at Rutgers working on my master's for environmental ecology. I think for pretty much anyone, if they do know me, it's going to be from Sucker Bunch. I don't think I've played for any other team, and just kind of been playing with Azmat since I started the game.
Awesome. Cool. Azmat, why don't you kick us off next?
Hi. I'm Azmat. I was a top laner for Sucker Bunch. I am now moving into a manager position. I don't have enough time to commit to being a top team anymore. Y'all might know me by being rude. I'm a rat.
Self-proclaimed.
I'm very harsh on everybody. I try to kick Sloth every other day from the team because I hate him.
That's he tough. Also said top team. But anyone catch that?
I am... I also love Sucker Bunch to death. Everybody on here, we're family, so it's great to be here.
Awesome. Cool. And then, Frosk, why don't you round us out?
Hi, I'm Frosk. I play Elder Goss for the team. You guys might know me from some of my work in other esports like League of Legends or my current work on G4, but otherwise, super excited to be with this group of morons. I dearly appreciate them.
Yeah. That's good. And I think everyone is coming to appreciate Sucker Bunch as a team. You guys have some fantastic personalities across the board. Your streams are always a blast to tune into, whether it's Azmat yelling at the whole crew or Sloth calling a ridiculous bot lane strat to try to pull off. I really do enjoy it and watching your squad play. But awesome. So why don't we talk a little bit about something new for your squad. I know I had teased this a little bit on Twitter, but I know that Sucker Bunch has a bit of an announcement to make. I don't even know what it is, so I'm waiting in the wings with a little bit of excitement. No one decided to let the host know what was going to happen. But one of you, why don't you want to take it away? Whoever, maybe Matt, you're the showcasing a little bit of a spoiler, but that's Matt. Why don't you take it away?
Yeah, so... Going forward, I did get permission to announce it on here. Going forward, we will not be Sucker Bunch anymore. We will still be the same Sucker Bunch. Friendly, loving family, you know, community that everybody loves to hang out with. But we are now going to be Team Glitch Energy. It's a health energy drink for gamers. We're going to be Team Glitch Energy from now on. We're going to be competing under Team Glitch Energy.
Very cool. Awesome. So a team with a sponsorship. Very cool. Frosk, I know that you have been in esports for a long time. You've probably had sponsorship deals and things like these before, whether like with the partners or organizations you've worked with. However, for Arg and Sloth, how does it feel to be working with a partnered organization?
I'm a professional gamer, and all my friends are now jealous.
Very cool.
You don't have
yeah, it's
we're your only friends.
Shut up.
It's pretty cool. Like finally, like we're all well over like 25 here. So it's like really cool finally being able to realize like that childhood dream of getting paid to play video games. You know, I can finally tell my parents like I told you so. So it's definitely a really satisfying feeling.
Awesome. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. It's the dream for a lot of gamers to actually find that, and just not just that, but even past that. But let's talk about, I guess, Glitch, or what used to be Sucker Punch. Let's talk about that history for a little bit. Talk to me about how this team first formed. Was it Arg and Azmat? Were you two kind of the original inception of this squad? And then, yeah, talk to me a little bit about the story of Sucker Punch thus far, till this recent transition.
Well, a long time ago in Russia, a man and a woman met, and then I was born.
Immediately after. That's incredible. Immediately these after. Two people are so important.
Is that how it works now, just through a handshake?
Mm-hmm. All right, not an alligator, parents, okay?
An alligator and Shrek made it and made me, apparently.
Wow.
So Matt is from Palms of Louisiana, and we all, you know, he's Cajun, and we call Cajun spicy Frenchmen. And that's how that originated from, just a little context. But so I started playing this game about 2 weeks in. For the longest time, I didn't want to touch it. I've been a League of Legends player since, I think we were just saying, since preseason one. Since before there used to be, you know, any of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to touch this game. It looked, and I thought it was going to be bad. Second weekend, I was now addicted to it. It was the best thing I've ever played. And then through solo queue, I met Azmat. For some reason, somehow, without voice comms, without any of that, we just synced up. We started destroying bot lane and just started dual queuing.
Cool. That's fantastic. Okay, so that is the first inception of the Sucker Punch. Azmat, anything to add to the dawn of this team?
Yeah. So pretty much, like I said, like he said, we stuck together this whole time. We knew that we had what it takes to go far. We went through a couple rosters. We're probably the team that went through least roster changes throughout the start of Unite. So we started with three unknown players. I miss them to death still, though. Then we picked up Heroic Spirit Gamer, which he's like the owner of Ales Frontier now.
Very cool.
And we had the same two players, Lose on Zap and somebody else. And then we switched two players because they had to stop for Sloth Goss and Deso.
Okay.
And then Frost came along.
I came along before Sloth and Deso.
Did you?
Yeah. Frost was here first.
Let's get it from your mouth then, Frost. How did you find this team and how did you join?
So I was on a team called Evo, shout out to them, and we just weren't, I think we had like one third placing in like one of the small tournaments, but we just weren't finding the footing that we needed to, and we didn't have players that could commit to the time schedule. So I went around in the early days looking for tryouts and saw these guys, contacted them, didn't get to play with Matt forever because like a hurricane had just hit and he was unable to play because he lives in Louisiana.
Just Florida things.
Yeah. Just the Southern United States things.
Oh, yeah, I'm Canadian. I played the fifth. I'm so sorry. I'm getting states wrong. I'm sorry. Continue, bro.
It seemed that it was working out well. Joined them. We then made some adjustments with our top lane. I can't even. Oh, yeah. Matt was defender at the time, and then we did a role swap. So done a bunch of role swaps. It was interesting though because from the inception of a lot of teams, we were all unknown players, and I think now we're fairly established players, at least within the grassroots Unite community. So that's been kind of cool to see it come up.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. All right. And then let's talk about you, Slop. How did you join the team?
So I'm last person to join the team. I came in with Deso because Deso and I had a team together. He was kind of like my Arg to Matt, if you will.
Okay.
And then our team just wasn't as serious because like I was like Arg when I started playing this game, League of Legends background. I think most of us have League of Legends backgrounds here. I'm a huge Pokemon nerd, which is why I picked it up. I was like, it's Pokemon League of Legends. Amazing. I'm in. didn't expect to even be good. I played ranked. I kept climbing. And then once I got to Ultra, I was like, I can actually do this. This team, Sucker Punch, rolled over my old team like multiple times in a row.
Sure.
We just couldn't beat them. And then I heard Matt was hosting tryouts. I am a big Frostcaren simp. I loved her.
Okay.
And I had to take the opportunity to try out to play with her. So that was a big motivator. She knows that. And then I've fallen in love with the team. And, you know, this is the second team I've ever been on, and I already never won a league.
Okay. Awesome.
Let me say something real quick.
Sure.
Whenever you joined, we weren't Sucker Punch, by the way.
E5. We were E5.
We were Elite
we
5.
We were Elite My 5.
And everybody and their mother tried to take Elite 5 from us, so we decided to change the name because everybody started naming their team Elite 5, so we couldn't do it.
I picked Sucker Bunch. So,
originally, we were the Dream Team. Then it was E5, okay?
Okay, so we've had even some name rotations. Maybe not as many roster rotations early on in the scene, but a lot of name rotations. I don't think there's any team that has avoided a name change throughout the entire course of Unite yet. I say that as a content creator who is weeping every time that I have to look at a bracket, and I'm like, I know the players I know are in this bracket. I don't know where they are, though. And it is a crime trying to dig through. So,
I mean, it's like the most exciting part of like the birth of an esports scene, especially when it is at that grassroots where, like you're saying, you're so ingrained with it, so you see the players and you see them change hands and it's everyone's trying to settle, which is why it's so exciting right now, because on the cusp of worlds, everyone's like, okay, now it's time to lock everything in as now money starts to become invested into the scene. So hopefully we can only continue to grow from here.
Yeah, that's true. And not to mention this world, like you just mentioned, that world's announcement coming forward. We have somewhat of a soft roster lock going into this format situation where if you qualify through these opens, then that's the team that you have to participate in with the cup. But that being said, players themselves individually are going to carry points through this entire world season. So the format I'm most familiar with that does a similar thing is going to be Call of Duty's Challengers setup. I followed that scene for a long time. Roster swaps happen constantly in that game as well, like even all the way up to what their Worlds or Champs is in that case. So I'm hoping that we see a little more solidification in Unite, but I maybe am not as optimistic as you, Frost. These teams, I don't trust them at all. But I know that what I'm gathering from your team so far, I've been discussing it, you guys have a lot of fun together, you really play as a family, as a squad, you really trust each other in-game, out-of-game, that's fantastic. I know you're looking to fill out your roster slot, though. Azmat, I know you were the top laner once upon a time, but no longer there. You're currently doing tryouts. Talk to me a little bit about how a tryout process for Pokemon Unite has worked so far. What's that looking like for your roster?
Pretty much, we value attitude more than anything. We don't care if you're the best player in the game. You have to have a good attitude. You know, we're more of a family than anybody. So we've went through tryouts. We've went through here and there for jungle. We have stuck with a jungler, Muk from Tyre /
Aphelion.
Aphelion. We thought
now
he was
IX,
really,
I think.
Yeah, maybe we thought he was going to be really rude. But he is actually the nicest guy you'll ever meet in your life. Great guy. He fits in great. I'm very excited for him. We got another couple of tryouts for top lane. I'm not going to discuss that. That's on the down low.
Sure.
Totally. We will be locking in something today or tomorrow for that. So we're very excited about that.
Awesome. That's fantastic to hear. Okay, so, I mean, it sounds like it's going pretty well. We thought Muk was going to be a jerk, but hey, blessing in disguise sounds out like he's great. I could have told you that, though. Muk's the homie. I love hanging out with that guy. So, now let's learn a little bit more about your team. I've got the surface level stuff. We know where you're from. I need to know the number one question on everybody's mind. Who ints on your team the most?
Sloth.
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 Okay. Sloth, rebuttal?
100%.
I would like to see the VODs.
Can I see the VODs, please? Well, any game, you're like 3, 2, 1. Watermelon goes backwards.
In 2 seconds, of Frost screaming, woo! And running it down bot lane. I rarely end.
That was the one time, and it was...
Do you have the VODs? Because I have the VODs.
Chat, say Sloth. Everybody's following.
No, chat, don't do me dirty.
It's 100% Sloth.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I'm just glad they didn't say me.
Wow.
You're second,
I know,
right?
But I'm not first.
I don't know. Exactly. I've seen Muck's ults. Like, Muck okay. just
Muck
has his...
Isn't. Muck is...
We've talked about this. He has Lee Syndrome, but on Greninja. And if he sees anyone at, like, 30% HP, it doesn't matter if they're standing behind 12 people, like, on a pad. He's like, I gotta go in.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, and that's why we all love him. Okay, well, Sloth, it seems like you got quite a bit of flack there from your team.
I accept it.
The next question I have is who's the low-key carry on your team that never gets the credit? You're more than welcome to say yourself, Sloth.
It's still me.
It's absolutely me.
I got a clip I can pull up right now. Where are the receipts? I need to see them.
You did play like a god the other night, I will say that.
Oh. So the rare guest.
In the spirit of objectivity, I am a very hot or very cold player.
Okay. So here's the thing.
When I'm off, I'm off.
We're a very temperamental team, which is why attitude is everything to us. And the assumption is that our bot lane is like one of the worst bot lanes of the top teams. But I just want to say, in tearing through ladder, we've just dominated everyone the last few days. So
they can
we've got the receipts, we'll check the bots, we'll see you guys.
I got the receipts.
Those teams know who they are. Guess what? You got memed on by the meme team.
Okay. All right. Well, we're calling them out, maybe not by name, but like you said, they know who they are. We have the Twitch VODs to prove it too. All right, fantastic. Okay, and then the last fun question, maybe a little less. Hey, who do you think's the funniest on your squad? You said you're more of an emotional team, maybe a little more susceptible to tilt. Who's the saving grace of your team that's making a joke and resetting the mental?
Let me say this real quick.
Bullying people doesn't count as jokes.
Arg is the funniest. He makes the most jokes. Sloth!
I think it's Frost. I vote Frost.
Sloth is the funniest because he's really fun to make fun of.
So
like, it makes it fun because
a bit of the Jerry, if you will.
I'm the person who ends up in the most ridiculous circumstances, though. Think of that Phasmophobia
Frost,
game.
Yeah, Frost. Oh my god. Okay, never mind. No, fuck Org. I'm sorry for French. Yeah, Frost. And then our Sloth is the funnest to make fun of because, you know, he's a teacher and stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Sauce fun to tease. Arg is actually funny, and I'm the one who always ends up in like the shithole.
Okay. Sure. All right. So I will say an even distribution on that. I don't think that any really one name rose above the rest. So we'll say awesome. Well, thank you for just displaying a little bit of what your team's personality is outside of just the gameplay. But let's pivot a little bit. Let's talk about Sucker Punch's gameplay. You said it a few times. You said that essentially you feel like your team is known as the meme team at the moment by maybe other top players. Why do you feel that is? Is it just tournament placing? Is it just early placing?
It's a couple of different factors. We are older than basically anyone else in the scene. There are a couple of older guys, but when you're thinking about like the top end players, you are thinking about younger people. Okay. And I definitely think that the Unite scene, because it is very small, is quite clicky.
Oh, yeah.
And so the opinions get spread around, and they get spread around fast. And us in Sucker Punch now, Glitch Energy, we kind of stick to our own. We're adults. We have lives. Like, people will come in and hang with us because we're very chill, but they don't seem to take us very seriously, which then gives us big advantages because when we 2-0 you in the beginning of a tournament like Shiny League, as soon as we win a game, we know that the mental has tanked because to drop a game to the meme team, people just lose their goddamn minds and they just flip out. So we wear the meme team with pride. We're the roadblock. Like, you guys are supposed to win worlds. We're just here to make sure that you don't.
Okay. That is a bracket demon in itself. When you consider yourselves maybe the gatekeeper squad, like I was calling you before we hit the go live button.
For a solid speed bump.
PLG, baby. I'm telling
you. Watch your mouth, right? Watch your mouth.
Yep. We're powered by family and love, right? And friendship.
Listen, we'll see you in top 8.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I'm looking forward to that. Let's talk a little bit about the in-game gameplay then. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty specifics. Sucker Punch, what is the meta that your team has kind of preferred to adopt in recent time? We've seen an adaptation recently, especially in NA, to that Slowbro being played in that bottom lane. Sloth, is that currently your pick going into that bot lane right now?
So, this might just be like my own personal like inflation, but before the Slowbro really, really hit the meta, I played it in a tournament and we 2-1 Tire in that tournament. And I think that was like probably one of the best tournaments we ever played. And we just ran through it.
Sweet.
And then all of a sudden, like the next couple weeks, everybody's playing Slowbro. Personally for me, like I'm 100% down for the Slowbro. I think there's a very, very strong argument for it as the best support in the game right now. And if anybody watches me play, I am a telekinesis Slowbro, and I will argue to the death with everybody that telekinesis is better than I can't remember the name.
Amnesia.
I will argue to the death threat.
To forget that ability.
The play potential on it is insane, and I'm in there.
Before you jump in, Matt, I just want to like this may be what I like specialize in. I feel like Slowbro is intrinsically connected to Bulbasaur specifically. If teams are Venusaur players versus Pikachu players, obviously you want to take the ranged defender as opposed to Wiggly, who's a melee defender. Sure. So if you have Bulbasaur, who's typically a weaker laner, teams will take double range Eldegoss and Slowbro because it helps beef up the lane to get him to Venusaur. We're one of those teams that we double down where we do the Pikachu Slowbro Eldegoss. So we're coming at you with like triple muscle band. Yeah,
triple
ranged,
band is scary for sure.
Which basically makes us a bar fight in the bot lane.
Absolutely. From range. A thrown bottle fight.
The main thing about that whole Slowbro thing, I'm gonna let you know now, is like the whole meta, Arg realistically predicts what's going to happen in the meta a lot of times.
Okay.
So we're usually the first ones to try out stuff. So Soth was one of the first ones to play Slowbro. Whenever Pika was not meta, Arg was still playing Pika. He was running Vault Tackle.
My
Pikachu
support. Why didn't you let me do it?
Pikachu support started getting good. We were like one of the first ones to integrate Talonflame, my champ. Arg begged me to play my champ way before whenever Old Boy was still broken. What's his name? Lucario. And I was still playing Dynamic Punch and whatever. Like, we like to try out these certain things, and then they become meta after because, like, this person gets nerfed or whatever. Arg is really, really good into that. Now, I'm not saying that I played my champ good at all. I was terrible at it. Okay. But I'm just saying that they feel the meta before most people do.
Okay, awesome. So, Arg, you've been shouted out as maybe the foreseer, the future teller of this of the meta. What's next on your prediction? What's that next hot pick that's not being played right now?
Realistically, I'm not gonna lie, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm gonna be real. A lot of the times it's like you're looking for patterns.
Yep.
And you're looking for ways to break said pattern.
Okay.
So I mean, right now is what? There's two attackers that are really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Pikachu and Bulbasaur.
Seen some people trying out the Dragonite in lane again, but yeah, pretty much just that Bulbasaur and Pikachu across the board.
I mean, we do right. That weird thing with guard unless you don't want to talk about it.
I think my hot take, I think... Green.
We have this secret thing with Gardevoir that we do.
Secret sauce.
<Okay.
laughs>
All right, think, Sloth, what were you saying?
I said my hot take, I think, is Green is really strong right now in the top lane.
Okay.
Especially after, you know, once when we went through our top tryouts, we had a lot of Green players.
Yeah.
And it definitely feels currently undervalued.
Yeah.
If we're talking about something being picked up in brought meta, my guess is Green.
Okay.
I think it's really, like, just a shout-out to the three Greedent players, Artie,
yes.
J-Rod, and
yes.
Sandra. I can't believe that they haven't been picked up. I hope they have been picked up. But, like,
Tire reform,
I feel...
So, Artie's picked up.
Like, yeah, if Atreyu can do it, like, so can everybody else, right? Like, it's just, it feels good. It feels good.
But it's just, like, people seem to be hesitant to pick up Greedent players because they're like, oh, what happens if Greedent gets nerfed? But we have, like, no one's questioning, like, oh, what happens if Lucario gets nerfed? Like, some people are... infinitely better on Lucario than they are on like Machamp or Garchomp. So I just don't know why we like hold Greedent players like, well, what if their champion gets nerfed? It's like bans haven't been shown to be in Worlds, so yeah. give some respect to the Greedent. Give some respect to the squirrels.
Absolutely. That Pokemon has... It's one of my favorite Pokemon in terms of its availability is your best ability in terms of things. You can build that Pokemon in a lot of
ways. So I see you're a psychopath.
Yes. I do claim that as one of my traits. But
what's the meme? It's like, if you're a Greedent player, to hell. Straight to hell.
Yes, absolutely. But that Pokemon can be played in so many different spots. You want to jungle invade, it can pull it off. You want to just solo top, it can work. If you want to play that Pokemon with the Smite ability, using your Unite to pull it off, it has that in its toolkit. So, definitely a strong Pokemon. I mean, you were saying that maybe Lucario does get nerfed one day. I don't know. This game feels incapable of doing that. They always seem to buff that Pokemon every time they touch it. But who knows? Potentially. I'm glad Extreme Speed is being played again, by the way, though. That Pokemon is 100% more fun to watch when that Pokemon is using Extreme Speed. Close combat. No bueno. But I'm excited to see E-Speed back on that Pokemon. Let's talk about the newest Pokemon added to the roster, though. This Pokemon Unite, so far, I think if we can credit one thing it has done really, really well, it's just the sheer amount of Pokemon that we've had added to the game, added to the roster throughout its lifespan. We're getting Pokemon pretty much every 2 weeks recently. Since the new year, we've had a lot of really strong Pokemon added to the game, some weaker. Where does Aegislash land on that sliding scale for you?
We don't have a top lane.
And that's where you think it should be placed?
I think Aegis Slash is good. I think it's always a situation of, like, people need to feel out how a Pokemon plays. Like, there's always interesting things where the meta is determined by patch changes, like the numbers being buffed or nerfed. Mm. But then, as we see in static games like Dota or League, when metas expand for a while, even in a static meta where math isn't changing, the meta themselves will change because of the ability to pilot said champions or find different matchups about how you think about something. Mm-hmm. I think the champion seems promising, and that its ultimate is pretty instantaneous burst damage. So as far as secures go, is really interesting. And then it just has like pretty ridiculous raw burst damage from what I've seen, like in a 1v1 type of scenario. So I definitely think that we'll see the Pokemon played, and it's really only a matter of time before people get comfortable enough of how they want to deal with it.
That's true.
What are you guys talking shit there in the chat? I see you smiling, Matt.
I honestly couldn't agree with you more, maybe not about our chat being just bonkers, but what I was talking about the actual Pokemon, I do think Aegis Slash may be one of the highest skill ceiling characters we have placed into the game yet. However, pretty high skill floor too. This Pokemon does seem like one that is going to be the tricky to master, but very, very strong when placed in the hands of a competent player. So I do think this Pokemon will see the light of day. I don't know when, and when the other options you have for top lane at the moment are so strong, it's going to be pretty, pretty tough in this meta. So maybe we'll see it, but just not quite yet, I think. But
I think Gengar is really strong.
Wow, the hottest of takes, but
I don't think it's that hot. I think as an attacker position, if you like get the Gengar through, especially because they lowered the level at which he gets powerful, if you have like Shadow Ball, you can instantly burst someone. Like, obviously if you fall behind, it's difficult, and I don't think that a Gengar is going to be like as valuable in a late game team fight as like a Venusaur, but I think a really particular playstyle Gengar is really interesting.
Yeah, definitely a super strong Pokemon when it really hits its rhythm, but you have to commit to losing that.
You have to be a really good Gengar player. That's, I think, the biggest issue.
You're just saying that not you, Matt. To goof twice.
Like, he was playing Gengar. Good Gengar player.
Yeah, I don't support the Gengar bot lane. I just want to throw that out there.
Okay. Your line of sand is not gone.
Not on board with that one.
You can lick them back into Wiggly's cute triangle.
I need receipts. Show me the VODs. Let's see him.
It definitely has a variety of options available to it. Just, I think the change that they made, the swapping the moves it learned, it honestly really, really hurts that Shadow Ball Dream Eater build, because you don't get the resets immediately anymore. You're sitting with a Dream Eater that just basically does nothing. So you're almost forced into Hex, which, great, but that move is so counterable. I don't know. Zoinks, that is my name. It honestly comes from the fact that I love Ghost Pokemon, my favorite type ever, and I'm a huge fan of the franchise for life, so I want Gengar to be good. I truly, truly do. I have an embarrassing amount of games on that Pokemon, especially when you consider the win rate I have on that Pokemon. But I really, really want it to be viable, so I may have to start huffing the hopium that you are for that Pokemon, because I need to see it. I really, really do. But
wait, your name isn't from Pinky and the Brain?
His name's not from Scooby-Doo.
It is Scooby-Doo.
I went through a few different screen names that I've had to change in the past, and they were also Scooby-Doo themed, so I just kept the Scooby-Doo going forward. Like, I went by Heebie-Jeebie for a while, because my last name's
such
Hebert.
A good name. Why do I have such a dumb name? Okay. Guys, why Frost
has been
do this?
Looking
Player
for
4200.
A name. Game we get into, she keeps going, oh my god, this is such a cute name. Why did I pick such a stupid name?
Noodlebug is a great name.
She just changed name your changed. Name, and it's the same name.
She got her name changed. But
they took my name.
And then you changed it like yesterday, and it's the same name.
Hey, called out again on the podcast. Wow. Yeah, this family definitely not far away from taking shots at each other, but I should expect that by now. Let's pivot a little bit into talking about Worlds. So in literally just a couple of days, we have our first event. So we have our first February Open, or our first initiation in a global competition. Not cross-regional yet, but it is kicking off in every region available, except for some reason South America is this weird void that Pokemon Company has decided
and
not
India.
To have a statement on. And India. absolutely wild. India is crazy. The fact that Mexico hasn't been paired into a region yet is insane to me.
I know.
We have some really good teams.
Absolutely absurd.
We're looking at a Mexican top laner, and we got absolutely screwed. I contacted the Pokemon company and got clarification on the rule, because they're like, oh, please contact to see if we can get around eligibility. Like, had full-on discourses with them. Apparently,
it's because of the wall.
The rule is you have to be physically in the place that you are competing from.
Sure. Okay.
Which blows my mind. What is to stop someone from driving all the way?
You
let's
just
say,
sit
from
on the
Peru,
other side of the border, dude.
To,
like, you stand
yeah,
with
to,
your
to
like, make a run for it.
You put your Switch over the border.
That's true. Well, yeah, where do international waters come into play? If I'm out in the ocean with my mobile Switch, what can I do and what can I do?
You'd be physically
you're gonna red bar
in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like you just, yeah.
I'm gonna red bar. I'm gonna play that Zapdos flip. It works every time. It works for these. But okay, let's talk about this first tournament. How's the team's vibes going into a completely random seeding? Pretty huge bracket from the sounds of it.
Yeah,
we don't have
really
a top laner.
I'm really looking forward to getting TTV in the first round.
Absolutely.
We always get the worst brackets. That would
we
happen.
We always get the
oh
worst bracket.
God.
We are absolutely going to get TTV'd directly into Team Shiny.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
That's really funny. But actually, that brings up an interesting point. Is those your top two teams right now going into this? No.
No, definitely
TTV
not.
TTV and Ascendance, or whatever.
Yeah, Ascendance.
Ascendance and TTV for
sure. My take for the last few weeks has been I flop those. I think Ascendance should be like the number one team on everybody's list, but hey.
Here's the thing, though. Like, ew. TTV, you can never, when they decide to like turn it on, they're really terrifying. So like, don't get me wrong. I think Ascendance is really good. And I also think that TTV have been, in my opinion, a bit resistant to small tweaks that are happening in the meta, whereas I think Ascendance has been better with it. But again, when it comes to like consistency, like that's the thing about TTV, they'll make a bad day worse.
Yes, yeah, they can do that for sure.
Thank good. In the TTV rating, I definitely have still TTV number one always.
Okay,
just because like those guys, like they're, and not to like sidebar flame them, but like it doesn't matter like how bad they are as players. Mm-hmm. It like, because some of, they're not bad, but like some other players like shine through here and there, but like their macro is on a completely different level.
That's true.
It's like, I don't know if you've ever watched their streams, but like they do things and I'm like, are you guys communicating like telepathically, or like why, you know, there's no calls? They just do it. It's like, this is like who they are to their core. And I think that separates them currently from Ascendance.
Yeah,
I think Ascendance on their best day obviously can beat TTV, but again, like I think TTV on a bad day can still give anyone a run for their money. So when TTV hits a good day, you're like, oh.
And I think TTV consistently has those good days.
That is true. Yeah, I mean, of course, the most consistent team in the scene thus far since the dawn of the game, always top placings, always a threat. Have dropped more and more tournaments in those recent days, but they have been going through a transitional period. They've literally been flying Toon out to Zug's basement. So this has been a transfer for this team. But yes, they are the strongest team. And with Worlds coming up, every team is going to be taking it a lot more seriously. That being said, has that kind of mental transition happened for your squad as well? I know you don't have a top laner, but has this announcement of Worlds and this kind of dawn of wanting to move into this setting, is it lit a fire underneath your team? Or is this something like, you know what, we're just going to kind of keep playing at the same pace. This is the game we love. We're having fun with it. We don't really need to change anything going into Worlds.
Realistically, go ahead, Ross, you can say it.
No, you go. You're the manager.
No, you!
Realistically, the last couple weeks have been rough. We went through some transitions. We had to unfortunately decide to get rid of Deso, and then we brought in another jungler and great player, amazing player, just didn't mesh as well with the team like we talked about before. You know, we're an emotional team, so once we got in Muk, you instantly see our bot lane from going from, you know, probably one of the worst bot lanes you can watch in like a pro team to one of the best.
Okay.
They have literally improved just from like night and day.
Okay.
Lit a fire under their butt. They're playing well. They're playing amazingly. Muk is a great addition. Once we get this top laner situation locked in, I'm excited to see what they can do, because they they have improved overnight dramatically. It's been insane.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome to see. Let's talk a little bit about where that preparations come from. The work that you're putting in. I know we don't have the full roster solidified, but in the meantime, what's the team's prep look like? Are you scrimming? Is it strictly rank ladder grinding? And are you committing time to VOD reviewing? Those kind of things.
We're doing the whole nine yards. We're all scrimming. Right. We have been getting random coaching from Excellent. Great guy. He's been helping us a lot. He's been helping a lot of people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Looking more macro. So a lot of our play is macro wise, you know, kind of rough. But also we're also really good at macro. So sometimes individually, okay. It's weird.
all right.
So we've been just kind of looking at that. We've been scrimming. They've been running ladder. Frost played last week. She played like 12 hours a day. I don't know what the hell she did, but she played a lot.
Okay.
I got improve. A lot better.
Yeah, she has improved. She was running with random people. Yeah, she's been improving. Hey babe, my wife is back with my kid. I'm yelling at. I have to yell at people, so I yell at Sloth. I yell at Arg. Hey, y'all two are crap at securing Dino's. Work on it. You know, get in a game and run it 24/7. Run it.
Sure.
And they have, and they're improving dramatically.
That's awesome. Really good to see. And your team has already been seeing the benefit of this grind in an early game definitely pays off early. Are you reaping the rewards yet?
I mean, we had a short intermittent tournament that didn't have a ton of teams in it. We mm-hmm. did have Ascendance in the tournament, and I thought we had some pretty good games against them. They ultimately obviously won the tournament because I think Ascendance is probably top two, if not top one team, again, pending what composition, what day it is.
Sure.
But, you know, even just that was kind of out of our grasp before. We always used to joke that we're like the CLG of the Unite scene. Like, you don't actually get to be considered part of the Unite top teams.
Yeah, Arg's still claiming that, but okay.
Unless no. you beat us, you're not really in the top Unite. Okay. Top Unite scene. You have to beat us to do it. Okay. But now I think that we could easily, like, flip on some of the top teams.
Sweet.
For whatever reason, I swear to God, the last few tournaments, whatever team beats us goes on to win the tournament.
Okay. Our bracket is always terrible. Like,
we're like the lucky rabbit's foot.
Okay. I don't know. Well, let me be able to turn that around for you, because I think three out of the five teams that I've had on so far, after I had them on, they went on to get at least a second place finish in their tournament. So you guys are getting the overdunk bump. So you're welcome in advance.
A bump right in time for February qualifiers.
No, blessing Arg. We don't speak of the curse. This is the caster blessing. You're going into the team. All right, let's wind this down a little bit. I want to talk. We've talked about number one and two. If you had to throw out a number, where do you think Sucker Punch lands in the top teams in NA? Top
three and four.
Three, five, ten? What are we thinking?
I think four, we're three, easily four. Top five.
Okay, yeah. Very cool. Awesome. So confident top 10. Arg, Sloth, do you feel the same way?
There's not confident, a lot of teams that are
confident
still
top eight. Confident top eight.
Okay.
What do you think is better than us?
I'd have to sit down and run through the roster.
Okay,
TTT,
Ascendants, Fire, Shiny.
Foreign Famous, Shiny.
Wait, which Fire?
That's five right there. IX, TTT.
Foreign Famous is better. We almost beat them twice on ladder and we threw on Zap.
Almost means we didn't.
We didn't have a top laner! We almost beat them without a top laner!
Confident top eight. I'm just saying.
We 21 Dino'd those fuckers.
If there's a chance that we lose to them, then it's not a confident top five.
We didn't see Venusaur for a year.
trying to be realistic.
Go back and watch that VOD. I have some questionable things I say, but it was fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, I broke their ankles.
Okay.
Confident top eight.
All right. Confident top eight. The rest of the squad saying that you round out the top five at the moment. Okay. Very cool. I love that confidence. Going into the tournament. Last thing I want to mention on this world's grind, just a simple format question. Overall, how do we feel about these qualifiers moving in? I know a lot of questions have been around why only two seeds going in from North America into the world championships. I've seen a lot of opinions ranging, like, it's ridiculous. This is just so unfair. How is it decided with just a final bracket at the end? I'm on the side of, I think it makes the most sense if we're going to get a ton of different, like, actual regions represented. it's fine, as well as it gives just a ton of emphasis on these regional finals. I think this would be like super, super hype tournaments because of that. But what does your squad think?
I think I'm in alignment with you. Like, I think people are looking at Worlds in comparison to like how League of Legends has established
sure.
Worlds.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at it like a World Cup, like what we do in soccer, which I think is probably a more apt description. And I think ultimately, like you're saying, it does mean that the regionals have so much more weight on them. And that's what's really exciting. Like, don't get me wrong, two seeds makes it a really tight competitive race. But what's exciting to me is the chance for these games to be broadcast, for more established or continuous broadcast to be invited into the Unite scene. Absolutely. And with the regionals being that important and that intense, it should just ultimately make the scene stronger and hopefully generate more interest into it. So even if you don't represent at Worlds, maybe you represent later down the line on more continuous regional exposure into all of these scenes.
Sure. Makes a lot of sense. Anybody else on the team want to comment on it?
I'm kind of that same, you know, thought process. Like, I align with you as well. I think, you know, League of Legends has kind of set the baseline for, you know, like formatting and things like that. And if we do want to get, you know, a representation of a lot of different regions, which, you know, we should all want, you know, having two, I think, go into Worlds is reasonable. But I'm also on the flip side where I identify with the same feelings as where everybody feels it's kind of unfair because, you know, top 16 team, you know, in your region, it's kind of like that so close but so far kind of
sure.
thing.
Okay.
Where it's, and we all really just want to go to Worlds, so I can understand like that aspect as well. I do. You did mention how we felt about the upcoming tournament. Mine might be incorrect on this. Loser's bracket is BO3, right?
It's double elimination, best double of three throughout the entire tournament. And if you qualify through February qualifiers, you can only change one person on your roster from February qualifiers to February finals.
Oh, they give you a roster swap. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
My thought of that is I think it's going to be a very exhausting weekend for all of us.
Oh, yeah. They're limiting it to 8 hours a day.
Not me!
With 1,000 teams. It's
with losers
be
being
stoked.
A BO3, it's good, yeah. Yeah,
I am concerned, though, that because it is a random bracket draw that, you know, it's probably risky because there's only like maybe 10 actually competitive teams, at least in our vision right now from doing tournaments to this point.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be kind of unlikely that if like Tyre ran into TTV, they got shipped down into losers. And then if we ran into like Ascendance and they got shipped into losers and then we ran into Tyre, like that could happen and be really unfortunate.
Yes.
That'd be really unfortunate.
Theoretically shouldn't happen.
And this is not the only qualifier. So there's lots and lots of opportunities to earn points. And like we said, there's probably about 10 really, really strong teams that we can showcase and push forward. Maybe a couple more if we're really expanding our search. But top 16 is the final one, as well as, I believe, an LCQ for that regionals as well. So definitely going to be multiple chances to earn your way in. Teams, if you are stressing about this, I don't think you have to worry. Just get good, I guess. The Zoic's request, as I can say, as a person who desperately wants to cast it, who doesn't have to play in it. So I get that benefit for sure. But awesome. Thank you so much for joining me, Sucker Bunch, and also just the new team name change. So thank you for joining me on the podcast. This has been a ton of fun. Now is your chance, your entire team, able to sell out, shout out, plug, whatever you want to. Just move in that same circle that we did before. Sloth, why don't you kick us off?
Definitely got to plug Excellent Mike. I've been getting coaching from him. That's what we're doing, right? He's super wholesome, one of my favorite people in the community. Very affordable, very worth it. I recommend everybody definitely go see him for their coaching needs.
Oh, absolutely.
And my mom.
Yeah, shout out Sloth Mom. Arg, why don't you go next?
I'd love to shout out all the homies that used to be on the team that, you know, we're here because of everyone's combined efforts. You know, general.
Heroic, general, generic.
Deso. Yeah.
Oof. Our boy Des.
That's a murderer's row of past team members thing. Yeah, you guys have had a good squad for a while. That's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then, yeah, where can people find you as well in the socials? So just so we get that out of the way, too. I'll give you a chance to, Sloth. But...
Twitch.tv/Slothgoss.
Awesome.
See you all there.
Arg, how about you?
I don't really stream yet, but I'm on Twitter at IRArg.
Awesome. Very cool. Azmat, why don't you go next? Sell out, shout out, plug your stuff.
Okay, I got a couple things. I wanted to shout out Glitch Energy for, you know, helping us out.
Oh, yes.
you know, moving us forward. Mm-hmm. I want to shout out all of our past mates, Deso, I miss you. General, I miss you. Everybody. Twitter.com/suckerbunch_ go there.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And just shout out to the community. You know, I know the community gets a lot of flack for trolls and immature people and stuff. That's why we try to be the fun guys. And, you know, we're a family, you know, so shout out to all of the family, everybody, every one of them in our Discord. Without y'all,
your sister we team. Wouldn't
have as much fun. Sister team.
Sister team. Big shout out to those guys. That's They're true. Coming up quick.
You know, yeah. Yellow Tally Nish Frogert and
Nick.
Question mark.
Okay.
OnlyFans.com/AzMat.
All right. Wow. All right. Well, you just got that in quick. That's really good. I mean, hey, shout your stuff. That's all I'm saying. All right. And then Frost.
There's nothing there.
It exists, though. And you could be paid.
Oh, my God.
It does not exist.
All right. Frost, go ahead.
I think everyone kind of covered everything. Again, our partnership with Glitch and becoming Team Glitch was important because we are a more chill, laid back, family oriented type of team. And when we had discussions with them, they felt very aligned with that. So it was very cool to work with people who like took the time to sit down with us. And it wasn't just like a contract that got shipped out that we signed and then walked away. So that's super stoked. Cool. But shout out to the Juicy Timmies. They're kind of like our I know, right? Exactly. Everyone did it. They're kind of like our undocumented sister team.
Sure. Okay.
They are the most rambunctious, playful, lovable team. I really, really love them. So shout out to you guys. And I hope that we see you in top 16. And shout out to Dolly. I think we shout out everyone except for little Dolly.
Aww. Well, awesome. Thanks for shouting out that squad, too. And before we just close out this podcast, I have one more thing I'd like to ask all the guests that I have on this show as well. I know that we're getting a lot of the viewers for this podcast. A lot of the listeners are going to be from the competitive Pokemon Unite scene already. But for those that are new to it, who are just kind of grinding on ladder, you hit Masters, you're feeling pretty good, and you're looking for a team, what's one thing that really can set you apart, go from good to great, really go from the just grinding that ladder to actually performing well in tournaments? And you can try to make it specific to your role, but it doesn't have to be. Sloth, why don't you give it? What's one thing that a defender main can really take, add to their arsenal, and go from good to great?
Man, you really just put us on the spot there.
That's true.
If we're talking, I have two answers for you. I think role specific as a defender main... just the and then I'm gonna give two real quick. And then just a low key plug on Exland again. He explains the game as a push and pull motion, whereas like, because you can't like burn all your knights. Like if the other team burns all your knights, you gotta back up, right? And you gotta like kind of flow in and out. So on a defender main, I think the one thing that can set you aside is being able to like pull that in and out, and control it for your team. Awesome. Overall, as a player, I think a very important thing to have under your belt is experience with higher level teams. So stack with the best people that you can, play as much as you can. Ask teams, do they need a sub? Make friends. Because playing at that high level just inadvertently teaches you things that are very key to progressing forward in the competitive career.
Awesome. Great. Arg, why don't you go next?
All right, sorry.
No apologies necessary.
All right.
Matt has been talking so much shit in the Discord, but what he doesn't realize is he's in the wrong Discord. And Zoinks can see everything he's typing. And I just had to let Matt know.
Oh,
not about Zoink. I'm not talking shit about Zoink.
Well, thank you. To be fair, I actually can't see it either because, like, I have to have your windows up for the stream capture. So if I go away, then the entire stream would see it. So should I drop the? Do you want all the stream to see these DMs?
If it's Matt, you don't want to see it. Don't put that out to the world. Okay. I don't know what it is, but we don't need that.
All right, Arg. Let's just get back into it. Give me a tip. How do I be good at the attacker role?
I think I'm the last person you want to ask about that. What?
Well, I think, Arg, you have a really good, you have really good instinct for it. Like, I would rather have someone like you that has an instinct for bloodlust and for pushing the envelope and limit testing and kills than someone who's a coward.
Mm.
So, realistically, it's looking to play proactively.
Okay.
A lot of this game, you can't really play defensively, right? You have 10 minutes to do something.
That's true.
Right, sub Zapdos fight. It's, you know, sub 2 minutes. Once all the buddy barriers kick in, you ain't killing shit. So look for a stun, look for a proactive play, look for a pick. It's easier to win a 5v4 than it is to win a 5v5.
Absolutely.
Majority of the time. Majority of the time.
The battle cry of the non cowards. I like to hear it. All right. Asmat, how about you? Top lane or manager tip, I guess. It's really either one that you want to take.
I'm just I'll play everything. I'm better than all these guys in any role.
It's so false.
Name it, claim it.
I'm low-key, anyway. Like, the third best Elden Loss in the world.
Basically, what I can say as a tip is find somebody that you mesh well with. So, like, me and Arg, we didn't know each other. We mesh well, and we just played together, you know? Mm-hmm. We looked to improve together. We stuck together. Stick with one person, at least. Climb ladder. You know, find people that you mesh well. Find more people. Just stick with them. That's why we stuck with this team for so long. Yeah. We played together for so long. We just kind of figure everything out together. That's, like, the number one tip. Number two tip is always have an awesome couch in the background.
I hate you so much, man.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about in the chat.
We're talking about your couch. And then number three is don't ever play with somebody like Sloth. If you want to get good, if you want to be a top team, if you see Sloth in your game, Sloth Goss, you run. You leave the game, just get off.
Okay.
Get off that game.
I like to think I like to think this as you're trying to keep Sloth. You want to make sure that he doesn't leave to go to another team. So I understand
Sloth,
that.
You've
look.
Done so well. I'm
We're about to go
pleasure.
Join the Florida boys.
I have offered, man.
They need one more Eldegoss.
I've offered to pay people to take Sloth anyway. All right.
Oh my word. All right, Frosk, save us. What is
I don't
one
deserve
tip
this.
That an Eldegoss player? It. Self-proclaimed top three Eldegoss in the world.
I think that I am low-key such a fire Eldegoss, and people are actually just starting to figure it out. So three tips for Eldegoss. One, because there's no wards in this game, but it's still a game about information and involves Fog of War, Eldegoss obviously is a ward. Uh-huh. And the number one issue that I see of a lot of master level Eldegoss, especially even on competitive teams, not a lot of Eldegoss players do this, mm-hmm. where they just don't think about where they need to be acquiring information by being a human ward and how and where they need to stand. Number two is that don't be a little bitch Eldegoss player. Get in there, start slapping people. You are ranged and you are damaged. Be brave. What are you doing? If I don't see ridiculous, like, I will double every other Eldegoss's damage in the game. Start slapping those kids. If someone gets out with one HP, you messed up. That is your fault.
Absolutely.
And my final tip for Eldegoss is press ult. That's literally your only job. If you don't press ult, you're griefing.
Okay.
So, like last night.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, just to run down those tips, I think don't be a coward is probably amongst everybody's inclusion. So, awesome. Let's keep that as the Sucker Bunch, last time we used that team name as the motto going forward. Please don't be a coward.
Sucker
Bunch, don't try to poach players.
Yeah, don't try to
I'm just saying. Try to poach players.
I feel like this may be the podcast episode where we have not named any names the most ever. So
you know who you are.
They absolutely do. They absolutely do. Well, also, thank you so much for joining me on episode 6 of Overdunked. It's been so fun having everybody on. Just to plug my own stuff a little bit, I am Zoinks, a caster with Unite Mics. We have a YouTube channel, this Twitch channel. We are here hanging out right now. We're just trying to do a ton of content, and you know, if everything works out, we would love to be casting some of these Worlds competitions going forward in the future. And honestly, whatever broadcast you need casted, we'll take care of it.
Have they not tapped you up?
You know, we're trying. Yeah, we're working on it for sure. But so other than that, guys, but yeah, thank you so much for joining. Any vouchers, shout outs, they do wonders. But for Sloth, for Arg, for Frost, for Azmat, I have been Zoinks. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody, on Overdunk, and have an awesome rest of your night. Goodbye.
Peace.